Hey friends, welcome to another episode of Voices of Hope. We have Carolina and Anna on the podcast this week, and they are both members of our youth group and church. And we thought it'd be great to get a perspective from our youth on this podcast. So they're going to talk about what it's like to grow up in the church, struggle with faith, and also what it's like to be a teenager nowadays with social media and all that. We might have a part two with them later on. If this goes well, but we thought you might enjoy this, enjoy their honesty and their openness. So enjoy the conversation.
I just need chapstick because I know I'm just going to need it later. So.
Oh, I need chapstick.
But I want the Burt's Bees kind, so I got to find that one. Can I wear sunglasses for this?
Sure. It's not videoed, so.
So I'm going to do it. I hope that's fine.
Can I wear my French Revolution pin? Right here.
No way. Do
you see it?
Oh, no, I see it. Yeah.
Why is that bothering you?
No, I just...
You can't chew gum on a podcast.
Yes, I can. It's not going to be like...
All right. Anna and Carolina. Welcome.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, we're starting.
My bad.
That's all right. I like to have the normal stuff slip in there before anything else.
Because otherwise, authentic of you.
And it makes you feel more comfortable, because otherwise then we're just
ethos.
Like, what about ethos?
That's ethos, because it makes you more credible, because it's authenticity. Please don't.
We're starting this once more.
No, that, I mean, I want it to be authentic, because otherwise people put up a front. If you just say, all right, we're recording now. So now you have to say things.
Because New Hope Presbyterian doesn't put out anything that's not authentic.
Sure. Gotcha. That's our goal.
I like it.
It's more my style. So introduce yourselves a little bit. Let's start with Carolina. And then just talk about, you've been at New Hope how long? Your whole life or only a couple of years? I don't know. How long have you been going to New Hope?
Well, my name is Carolina Cisneros. I was baptized at this church, so I've been going here since I was in my mom's belly. And I am a junior at Castleview High School. I'm 16. And yeah, I've been going to New Hope for a very long time.
I'm Anna. I'm also a junior at Castleview. And I don't know how long I've been going here. I think it's been since about first grade. So yeah.
Good. And what are you two involved in? You just came from dance, Anna, right? Are you in dance?
Mm-hmm. I take dance.
And what else?
Choir. I'm like a choir person.
And
choir's like my thing.
And theater.
I'm not a good actress. I cannot act to save my life.
But you're involved with that.
I'm in the musicals, but I can't do like actual acting. I can sing and act. Should I let
him? No, he's fine. She'll come get him. Yeah, he does that. It's fine. There's a dog in the office right now.
This is torture.
There's a dog that's scratching at the door wanting to get out, but
he's
okay. He'll be fine. Give him a treat to make him more happy. And Carolina, what are you?
I am in TSA, which is an engineering club. It's a competition, and I am the vice president this year. And I'm also I play piano. That's about it, interesting-wise.
All right. Fun.
Oh, it's so fun.
She's smart. She's in AP Calc, and she's good at it.
Ooh. Yeah, you're smart.
I guess.
I was never good at
math.
She's
just smart.
You're not good at math?
No.
What math did you go up to? Like algebra 2?
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
The only thing you have to do...
To graduate.
Yeah.
To move on.
And then in college, you have to take a math credit, and so I took the easiest math class.
Statistics?
It might have been that, but we played with shapes.
Geometry, maybe.
Well, it was super easy. I looked up the answers in the back of the book.
Yeah,
it's definitely shapes.
But...
Solid.
I'm just not good at math, so...
That's nice.
But I really
You're
respect
good at
people
other things,
that
Jordan, it's
are
okay.
good at math, because we need people like that, right?
I suppose. We also need people like you.
Sure. We all need all people.
Nah, I could do without.
So I wanted to talk with you guys today because there's a lot of people in our church that never necessarily interact with youth from our church,
yeah.
And we want to and a lot of people that have had kids out of school for a long time. And so I want people to get perspective on what it's like to be a teenager in 2018, 2017.
In the church or just in general?
In general and in the church and faith-wise and all that. So first, I'll ask you all, you've been going to church here your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any good memories you have or fun memories from either children's ministry time or in youth group, things like that?
Yeah,
to share?
I really liked children's ministry a lot with Jamie. I remember her. I have like a lot of really great memories. We all remember Jamie Lewis and her kids, and we miss her a lot. I liked Area 56 too. I liked how we were separated from like the elementary. We felt all grown up, and then youth group when we had Josh Persky and Eric, and it was just, I remember we had a lot of fun doing all that kind of thing. And then now with like church culture wise, I feel like I go more to like the adult service and rather than the youth, Sunday university and youth group. And I like hanging out with the adults here. I love the people at our church. Greeting is fun. I like to greet. I like to say good morning to people. It's a fun time.
My favorite memory is when we were in seventh grade and me, Carolina, and Laura would used to come to youth group and just eat popcorn the whole time and like not do anything. But then we would learn, no, we would obviously learn about like the gospel and stuff, and that was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
To have my two best friends with me.
Yeah, nice. I noticed I wasn't mentioned in any of those places, but
one of my least favorite memories was when Jordan,
when Jordan
went on the Miami mission trip.
When Jordan joined the church, I really thought it took a turn, honestly.
Remember when she was vacuuming, and then they took a picture of you vacuuming to make it look like you did something?
You took the vacuum for me
vacuum
so that we could take
you.
A picture of
yeah.
you to make
so
it look like you did stuff on this trip.
Fake
no pictures
news,
of
he
me
didn't do anything.
If anyone saw that picture, I vacuumed that entire carpet, and it took 2 hours.
And it was black,
it was
like
gross
dirt.
We had to empty
the
vacuum like 4 times in the period of 2 hours.
Yeah.
It was disgusting. I don't think it had ever been vacuumed.
And you two are going on the Costa Rica mission trip this summer.
I am not.
I am.
She is.
She is.
That's right. Your whole family is, but not you.
The whole Cisneros clan will be there except for me.
Because you have that thing you were talking about
yeah,
earlier.
Yeah, Nationals is
yeah.
that week.
TSA.
So
I guess that might be more important than
it
Jesus.
No, Jesus is very important. However, winning is also very important.
Are you excited for it, Anna?
Yes.
Yeah? What are you excited about on the mission trip?
I'm mainly just excited to go out of the country because I've never been out of the country before.
This is going to be your first time
mm-hmm.
out of the country. Like, you've never been to Mexico or Canada?
No, that's
you have
out
your
of
passport?
The country. I've never been out of the country.
Do you have your passport?
Yeah, I finally got it.
Oh,
I look like trash in it, so that's cool.
Just
fun
mine.
And exciting.
Well, it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a new experience for you. So Miami's like the furthest south you've probably been. In the U.S.
Southeastern.
Well, that's probably the...
Yes. I don't know geography. I don't even know where...
Do you know where Iowa is?
Absolutely not.
It's like that way.
No.
That's west. That's the mountains.
If you're looking,
Iowa
on, if you're looking on a map, Iowa is right here.
That's Idaho.
Oh, that's Ohio. Idaho is right here.
Okay. Yes. I think... If you're looking
at a map, and this is Colorado, Idaho is over here.
No.
Yes.
Idaho's up here. Iowa's back here.
She was getting
Iowa
there.
Is
yeah.
not over here.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
it
not
is.
South of Colorado.
Iowa is.
No, it's not south.
It's east.
It's just
directly
east.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I just said.
Anyway, you have to be back by 2:55.
Mm-hmm.
So what time do you want to
leave? Before 2:55.
Okay, so what time do you want to leave?
Forty-five.
Okay.
Is that fine with you?
People are going to be listening to this and be like, who even
well,
are these
that's
people?
Why. That's why I'm
You're
writing it down to
out?
Cut it out.
Ouch.
This part out where we talk about
what happened
we're
to be authentic,
next.
Jordan.
Why not?
What
Jordan?
Happened to be authentic?
Sure, I'll leave
I
it
want
in.
A copy
then.
Of the whole thing so I can have my mom listen to it because she'll want to listen to it.
Do you want me to send it to you before it goes live and you can listen to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I want the whole thing before you cut it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my mom can listen to it.
So the other thing I want to talk to you two about is I know from conversations with you all and our mission trips and stuff, you two struggle with faith, with Christianity a little bit. So let's let's talk about that a little bit. When was the moment you started to feel like it wasn't exactly connecting? It wasn't exactly hitting all cylinders with you?
I feel like it was never like a moment that it didn't connect. It just, there was never a moment that it did connect. Like, I feel like I've gone to church for like ever because I've just had to, and there's nothing wrong with that. I've liked it. I like the people here, and I like going, and I like listening to the service, but it's never been something that's been like personally connected to my life other than that.
I think for me, I was really like hardcore Christian in like since I was a little kid, and then because like that's just how I grew up. I went to church with my family and everything, and then when I could actually like start, I don't know if this sounds like wrong, but like when I could actually start thinking for myself and like learning for myself, then I believed it. And then around eighth grade was when I like stopped, and like it didn't really make a lot of sense to me.
And why was that? Was there anything that kind of spurred that, or?
I think eighth grade overall was just a really hard time, like it is for everyone, but like it was an especially hard time. And I think my brother was questioning his faith then, and like I would hear him talk and hear his logical way to it, and I'd be like, yeah, that makes so much more sense than what I've been told.
Mm-hmm. And for you, you were saying it just doesn't...
It felt always just so forced, and like...
Force.
Yeah. And like, it's just never something that's actually been real for me.
Hmm.
Which, I mean, I guess that's not entirely true, because you go on these mission trips and you experience different like church activities and like the Ascent, and you feel like so close and everything, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna make a change in my life, and then like the hour after like that epiphany you just had, it's like completely gone and you just forgot it. And then like you're thinking like 3 weeks later, like, oh, I remember when I said I was gonna do that, that was funny of me to think that I could do that.
I feel like with like the mission trips and the Ascent and stuff, like I go, when I used to go on them, I go in order to help other people.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
I don't go for myself and, like, my own religious reasons. And I feel like that's kind of been the central point of mission trips. And I don't really think that, like, still now, I don't really agree with that. So
I definitely have just done it to go, like, help other people, mm-hmm. or go experience something new, but not necessarily with the end goal of expanding my faith.
Yeah, I agree.
Hmm. So you... Who keeps walking past the door? I've seen them being creepers. So you go back to what you were saying about... You said what you don't agree with mission trips?
Hold on. It sounded like he was being tortured. I'm sorry.
Oh, Tucker, you're fine.
No, not him, the one that was like... Okay.
So you're saying there's something you don't agree with mission trips. What,
well,
was
like,
that?
It's not that I don't agree with it. It's that I feel like most people, like, I'm not saying this is the wrong reasons to have it. It's just, like, my reasons to go on them.
Mm-hmm.
Is my reason to go on it is to help other people. Like, in the San Diego one, I was so excited to help, like, refugees and people that were coming into our country and stuff. And then, like, I feel like it kind of take it... It eventually, it takes kind of a selfish turn,
mm-hmm.
and, like, the fact that people are only kind of focused on themselves, and it, I don't know, it's kind of, like, it's really complex the way I think of it, and, yeah.
Yeah, and, well, our mission trip to San Diego, the group we went with, and what was that, Tuesday night we were there?
Mm-hmm.
One of those nights that was, like, everybody
was
kind of...
highly triggered. So bad.
Should we talk about that?
Yeah, I was gonna ask if we could.
Yeah, so explaining to people that are listening that didn't go on the mission trip, we went with a group and that works out there in the neighborhoods and stuff, and every time you go with these groups, they always have their different ways of doing stuff, and this group one night, their interns would lead our small group discussion with our work groups, whereas we're actually used to, as a church, a youth group, that we do it all together, right? And so they split us up, and the interns led them. And one night, every intern did the whole, basically kind of an altar call, telling, like, you need to accept Jesus or you'll go to hell and things like that. And it was really awkward and done weird. And some of our, you were in my group, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Me, you, and EJ. And EJ was the one that calmed me down
because
I was so mad. And Michelle.
I remember... sitting there, and I think first One of the kids said, I've been struggling with lately whether or not God is all-powerful. And our intern cut in and said, no, God is powerful, and shut her down right away. And then somebody else said, I've been wondering if there is a hell, and she just jumped in and said, no, there is a hell, and shut him down. And so then I was like, these kids aren't going to feel like they want to share anything because you keep shooting them down. And then she kind of just went into the whole accept Jesus or burn in hell type thing, right?
She said, like, she said, quote unquote, she said, without God, we're nothing. And, like, I can see where she's coming from, but, like, in that sense, it really, like, it eats at me because my brother doesn't believe in God, and so, like, does that mean he's just, like, a piece of garbage? Like, he's nothing at all? And so that's why I was really upset that night, because, like, if you question your faith and, like, you don't really believe in God that much anymore, I don't think that you're nothing. Like, I don't think you're worthless, and that's basically what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, tried to explain herself, but she kept just digging a deeper hole, and I was like, okay.
Honestly, like, some of the questions that they were asking, like, we just felt like we were in an assembly line, like, we were just a box that they needed to check off, so, like,
mm-hmm.
like, it didn't feel personal at all, and, like, I didn't love the discussions we had. They didn't feel very constructive, and I remember one night we were getting somewhere in my group, and I was talking, we were opening up, and I was like, okay, whatever, I'll just, like, open up, let's just, like, screw it. And I was like, yeah, I'm struggling with my face. Like, this is just something that isn't a thing for me right now. And everyone was, like, super nice about it. And I remember the students from New Hope were always so, so sweet. And they were, like, jumping in. And they told their stories. And it was, like, it was great. I had, like, an actual meaningful discussion. And I was like, oh, sweet. Like, I'm not alone. And, like, this is something that all these kids have struggled with. And these are people that I know. And I didn't know their stories before. And it was great. And then immediately after that, the intern asked, like, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven or hell? And I was like...
Also, quote unquote, that's exactly
yeah,
what
she said. I was like, I gotta go get some water. Like, I don't know. Like, what am I supposed to say? Like, truly and honestly, like, who am I to judge also? Mm-hmm. Who are you to judge? And, I don't know. It was uncomfortable, and I thought it just completely, like, was unnecessary to ask when we had already just, we had a great conversation, I thought, before that, though.
It kind of shut down the whole, it ruined how you felt in that moment that you were heard by other people.
Yeah.
And understood,
yeah.
And then... they did that, and it just wiped it all away.
Yeah, I was
right?
Like, oh, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a difficult situation. I think all the groups had a hard time with it. I know another group, one of the leaders really pushed back on it. And so it was interesting to see them kind of go up against our church group, which was a slightly different thought process than
mm-hmm.
them. And but I felt for you guys during that, because... And I talked to them afterwards about, like, we have some kids that are doubting and struggling, and that wasn't very helpful for them. And the response I got was, well, we have to be faithful to our mission and our stuff and blah, 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 blah. And it was just like, I get it, but
mm-hmm.
you could just say sorry. Like, that's
not
very hard.
Be
no.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised.
No, I mean, they just kept going back to the fact that that's their mission,
yeah,
is
okay.
Mission group, and that they're not, I think they, if I remember correctly, said something to the extent, we're not going to apologize.
Oh, wow.
For, not apologize. They're not worried about being offensive because something like the gospel is offensive or something.
Okay,
like
not,
like,
being too radical or something.
I remember the leader in our group
mm-hmm.
was, she apologized to me and Camille and Abby after, I think, we were all together, and she
good.
Was just kind of talking about it, and she seemed like, she seemed sorry to us personally.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't know if, like, the lead people knew that she was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what was the other thing? We had a boy in our group who actually is Catholic and goes to the Catholic Church, but wanted to go with us on a mission trip.
Mm-hmm.
He said something about...
In our group?
Yeah. And he said something about praying to Mary, and she, like,
was
ripped
not
into
it.
That, too. And I'm like... And I leaned over to her. I said, he's Catholic.
Yeah.
Don't, like, go rip into his beliefs and what he's, you know, growing up with. But... do you feel like Christianity in general, church in general, is kind of that way? Or is your experience with Christianity and church more of you get space to be able to question and doubt.
My experience with this church specifically has been very open and really understanding, and like I think like everyone here does a really good job, especially the adults do a really good job of listening and caring. Like the first night I came back to youth group in like almost over a year was with Laura this year, and we came back and then we stayed until like 9:45 talking to like you, Tammy, and Christy, and just all of the adults who were there to listen to our questions and like care about us and try to help us through our struggles. And it's been really helpful to have all the people here that we do.
Yeah, I think especially with that mission trip, like one of the things that I definitely took away was like how diverse Christians' like beliefs are, and how just because you go to one Christian church doesn't mean you have like the exact same beliefs as everyone else, and like we're not all on the same page. But I think that's also, it appeals to different people, and at the core it's the same, and that's what's important. But yeah, I think it's very interesting, and that's why we went on the trip, to explore the diversity in beliefs among different cultures, and even within our own culture, because there's lots of people in this town and they have different beliefs. And yeah, I think it's interesting to learn, even in your own town, you don't even have to go to a different state or anything to experience different beliefs. But yeah, I thought that was interesting.
You've been through kind of the storm of the last couple of years of youth group and the ups and downs, and do you think that has any effect on your faith at all? Or is that you're doubting and you're struggling and the growing pains of your faith, is that more attributed to things outside of that?
I think that's definitely possible, because I think it's super easy or it's not super easy, but like when you're comfortable in an environment, you feel more available to be vulnerable. And I think just like our youth group experience wasn't at the best time. We were going through a lot of transitions, and then Anna and I were the only ones in our grade that were females, so we were like kind of alone. And I feel like it would have been beneficial to have like more girls our age, or just have like a different environment overall in the youth group. And I think, yeah, it definitely contributed, because we were focused on probably the wrong things the entire time. Not really faith based, more just socially based.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do I need?
No, you don't have to. But
well,
do you
I was just looking at.
Yeah, talkers. Scratching at the door again.
I feel like with everything that the youth group itself went through, like from having so many people, like over 50 people come every night. That's definitely an exaggeration, but having a lot of people come
like
every
we
Wednesday, we did have a lot. And like,
it was definitely a sense of community.
It was a lot of people, and then just everything happened. And everyone kind of just left, and it just kind of fizzled out and died down. And I feel like that could definitely contribute to, like, well, we had this great community with our church, so, like, what happened to that? And then it could lead to more questions about faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, 50 isn't hard to get to. That's, like, 25 in middle school and 25 in high school.
Yeah,
we
had a
lot. That's pretty simple to hit. But, yeah, and I think there was, but wasn't there a lot of kids, there's a lot of kids that weren't going to New Hope, or their families weren't going to New Hope that,
lot of kids that were from not New Hope originally. Like, they would bring, everyone would bring their friends.
Yeah.
Everyone from, like, your school would be there. Like, it was pretty cool. We had a lot of people.
Yeah. Now it's mostly CV people.
Yeah, it's definitely CV people, and then people who go to this church, or just a couple close friends. But I think I liked before, like, what I liked at the time was that it was, you can invite just literally anyone. And, it would be different.
Well, you can still do that.
That's true, yeah. you could argue that the discussions weren't as good, but
yeah.
I think it was super inviting, and I liked that about it.
Yeah, there's always that, what I find with youth group is almost every year, youth group is different. You get different kids, you get different ones that are consistently there, so the ones who are consistently there are the ones that end up shaping the group.
Right.
And so if you have maybe some more wild kids there that consistently, it changes the group to be wild. And if you have more kids that are really digging the discussions and the topics and stuff, then that's what it's going to be more like. And youth ministry is interesting that way. It's a smaller church environment, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because just like here at New Hope, the people who consistently come are the ones who shape the culture and the feeling of the church.
Yeah, I can see that.
I really love when David Smith comes to youth group, or just having discussions with him overall, because he has the best questions and he's so insightful, and it's just good.
That's definitely true. Like, I feel like if I walked into youth group and I see, like, a few people, I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to have, like, a great discussion. And yeah. It's going to be, like, fun and, like, it'll be challenging. It won't just be, like, no one answers or no one talks. Because I feel like everyone has the potential to be that way, but it's just the people who have, like, those burning questions and have, like, the courage to ask. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, like, not something that we have moved away from entirely, but I think it's definitely faded. And I, like, mm-hmm. right. I liked the way it was a lot then.
You can open the door for Tucker if you want.
That's what I asked, like, yeah, just 20 to 5 minutes ago.
Just let him go. He'll know what to do. Bye, Tucker.
Bye.
He just trots down the hall. Yeah, so you guys are, you like the kind of the discussion piece of it. Because you are struggling, you are doubting, you want to learn more,
mm-hmm.
right?
And then I think what helps a lot is hearing other people's story. Especially youth. I think that was probably one of the biggest things that I remember when I leave youth group is, like, wow, like, I think people's testimonials really, really have an impact on other people. I definitely would not be brave enough to share one if I, like, had a story to tell, probably.
I really like hearing the adult's story.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Because, like, especially... Sorry, cut that out. Sorry, I got distracted.
No, you're fine.
I forgot who I was going to say.
Whose story did we hear?
I don't know. I'm about...
Donald?
I'm so embarrassed. I'm about to cry. Just especially the adult leaders. I really like hearing all of their stories and knowing what they went through.
Yeah. But then I think that's another reason why I think this is one of the things that hasn't clicked for me is because everyone tells their, like, testimonial and they have, like, this, like, life-defining moment, and it's, like, the climax of their life where, like, something big happened or something unexplainable happened, and, like, I look back at my life and I'm like, nothing like that has happened to me.
Well, you're also only 16
That's
years
true,
old.
But, like, there's kids at youth group who are like, this is what happened to me, and this is why I believe what I believe, and this is why, like, they can pinpoint it back to almost a couple points in their life. And I guess, like, part of me is just waiting for something like that to happen, but the other part is, like, what are you waiting for? Like, nothing's gonna happen, and this is something you have to choose for yourself. Or, like, I don't know. It's just that's wrestling inside me at the moment. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem with Christian testimony, right? That it becomes romanticized in mm-hmm. some way, that it has to be this big... They call it Road to Damascus moment, like, because that's when Saul became Paul.
Yeah, a big
thing. In the Bible.
Because he was blinded?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it changed
yeah.
his name.
Yeah. And I've looked at my life, and I'm like, I haven't really had that. Like,
yeah.
When I was in high school, I remember feeling like when I saw the pastor up front that that's what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just pursued that, and that was it. There was no big, like, moments that made me believe more. I just pursued it more and more. I think thinking about my journey is seminary was probably the point that really rocked my faith the most. Mm. But there wasn't like a moment where I was like, oh, everything's
right.
Everything
fits. That's what middle school me has been like waiting for, I guess. And then I guess eventually I just stopped waiting and stopped coming. And then because I guess that's what I've founded my entire Christian belief on for some reason. And then now looking back, it's pretty dumb, but yeah.
Mm. No.
I don't know.
It's all part of it. It's all part of the process,
the
growing up and learning. And it's hard, though. And I think you guys, what I'm continuing to be amazed about is I was in high school, what, 10 years ago?
30?
10 years ago,
right.
I graduated. No, I graduated 2007.
You did?
Yeah.
2000, that was like
Seven.
11 years ago.
Now it's 11
years, I don't
know
why I think
you're
so much older than you are.
But it's the beard.
Right. It's the wisdom.
Yeah. And, what was I going to say? Oh, just even in that decade, which maybe seems like a long time to you guys right now, but when you get older, that's not a very long time.
You old dog.
But the things
like
you guys have to deal with in high school You have so many more things coming at you from all different angles than, like, even when I was in high school.
Like 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean?
You have Instagram, Snapchat.
Oh, like social media.
Social
like
media.
Technology.
Like, Facebook just rolled out before I got out of high school.
What'd you guys do?
I'm
did
still
you guys
on
throw
Facebook?
Rocks at each other?
Put the sticky notes on
yeah,
the rocks and
throw
chuck
it through
it
the window. You're like, come over.
MSN Messenger.
Oh.
Or AOL.
What was your username? Only 90s kids will remember.
I don't remember.
You're not a 90s kid.
I know my Hotmail address.
Your Hotmail?
Yeah.
Wow, hot
yeah.
darn. Hot dog.
You weren't a 90s kid.
When
were you
kid.
Born?
I was born in 88.
So you're not a
90s kid. So not a 90s
no,
kid.
No, yeah, he's a 90s kid.
88 is not a 90s kid.
But he was
kid.
A kid during the 90s.
Well, yes.
But
that was most
like
of my
born,
childhood
born in
the
90s. That's what I meant.
Gotcha.
Oh.
I was like, if you graduated in 2007, this math is not working out.
But you guys were born, what?
2001.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was born in 2002.
So most of your childhood is in, you know, 2000,
the
2011.
The modern era.
Yeah.
Yes.
The modern era.
I like saying era.
But, so what's it like in high school now to have to deal with those things? Because I remember...
Well, I couldn't tell you what it was like before.
Okay, I'll tell you what it was like
okay,
before.
Okay, tell me what it was like before and I'll tell you what it's like now.
So if I was at school and somebody was giving me a hard time or being stupid or mean or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Once I went home, that was that. I didn't have to deal with
punch
it
him
anymore.
In the face.
Right?
Did you get in any fights?
No.
There's a fight at our school.
I don't know why
though.
I even asked you that because I know just looking at you that Jim has never gotten a fight in his life.
But for you guys, like if you're having a fight with somebody or if something's bothering you, it can follow you. 24/7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It can. It okay. hasn't for me personally, but I like you see it and you hear it and like it's really impersonal, which I don't like the everything on the internet. And even if you're fighting with a friend, like on your phone, everything's like 20 times meaner than it probably would be in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Yeah, because you can be because you're not face to face.
Right.
You can act
you
more mean and say things you normally wouldn't
smack.
Say.
Yeah.
yeah.
And then, like, people can gang up on you pretty easily. It could easily get out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just block them, you know?
Yeah.
Do you think it affects, like, how you feel about yourself at all? Like, do you feel like... What I see social media, maybe it's different for you guys, because you probably put a whole bunch of stuff on there. But for me, it seems like kind of a highlight reel
yeah.
of people's, like,
yeah.
good things in their lives.
Definitely.
So then
things
when
you
see...
Share.
Yeah, when you see other people, all the good things, you're like, well, I don't have any of that.
It's like comparing your resume. It's kind of weird,
yeah.
and it's a little awkward at times. Also, like, I guess another thing that's different nowadays is, like, you go on Instagram Discover. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's that second tab on your Instagram, and it just has all these things that they think you might want to see, and usually you don't, because it's, like, just provocative.
Most of
or,
my
like,
stuff is funny, though.
Some of it's
like,
funny,
like, it's,
yeah.
like, text posts for just my... It doesn't show, like, any workout videos...
Oh.
Like, it used to always just be workout videos and, like,
yeah.
models and just
it's
make everyone want to be sad.
Yeah.
And it's not the best.
Yeah.
It just, like, I guess that's another thing that I've struggled with, like, having social media is, like, you compare yourself to people who are, like, 25, photoshopped, and, like, plastic surgery-ized beyond belief. And, like, it's fun. It's a fun time to just be, like, okay, here's this female, and then there's me. And then they're not the same at all. And that's fun. It's always a good time.
Gonna have to wrap up here soon.
Yeah.
But I
feel like we haven't even, like, answered, like... Never mind. Continue. Cut that out. Don't put that
in. No, what do you want to talk about? We got a couple minutes.
Well, no, I mean... Because, like, the point was, like, struggling with faith, and then we got to, like, social media.
Yeah.
And I don't really see how that... plays a role.
We weaved
show.
And dab. And, well, that's part of...
the authenticity of the
podcast. What's your... yeah, what's it like to be a teenager nowadays? That was kind of that piece.
It sucks. That's it.
I personally feel like it's all right.
But we
no,
talked a
sucks.
Little bit about struggling with faith. To kind of wrap it up here soon, because we have to get you back to school. What is something about Christianity, faith, the Bible... that you struggle with the most? Like, what's the piece of it that you're like, I don't get it. I don't understand that part.
One thing is where, like, people say it's, like, a sin to get tattoos.
Because that one specifically.
What if you get a Bible verse? Is that, like...
I don't think it's...
Wouldn't he, like, appreciate that? Like, I don't understand that. Second thing, people saying that... We're just going to bring some more controversial topics in here. People saying that gays are going to go to hell. And that is very frustrating and also very confusing, because there are Bible verses that would support that. But then there's also Bible verses that would not support, like, that would challenge that. And so it doesn't really click for me. I don't get it. It's hard.
I feel like you could find a Bible verse that could say anything, though. It's like, you can make numbers say anything. You can make the Bible say anything you want. Just how you say it is what matters. So, yeah, there's that. Yeah, I don't love the way people use the Bible, especially in, like, class discussions. It's like, where is this coming from? And also, you're putting a bad image out a little bit.
So do people bring it up quite a bit at school? Like, in...
Sometimes.
Class
it's like,
discussions?
Yeah. Go for it.
It's not related.
Go for it.
It's about... Okay, it's about these two girls on YouTube who are, like... It's called, like, the Christian Diary something. I don't even know. But all of their views and opinions are things that I completely disagree with. Like, they're saying, and I have heard people in our school say this before, like, how men are supposed to be better than women, and, like, that's how the Bible made them, and that's how God made us, and then, like, they don't believe that women should be equal to men, and, like, just all of these things that, like, with today's society shouldn't be put up with, because, like, we're not living in biblical times, and, like, I don't know. I feel like the Bible is just, like, it's hard because, like,
dated, definitely.
It's definitely dated, but, like, it's definitely still important to our religion. But also, there's things change. Like, things change.
Yeah, I think the problem.
It's honestly,
you have to think about,
I know, I'm trying to figure out
really
what
hard
I.
Hard what you
want
to say.
So, I think what I see oftentimes is, at least Christianity in America, for a while now, has become so obsessed with proving the existence of God, or proving that Christianity is one true religion, proving that the stories in the Bible are true. And that just creates all kinds of problems, because that's not how the Bible isn't supposed to be read, as a historical and fact-filled document. It's meant to be read as this living word, this thing that continues to speak new truth to us each and every day and every year and every generation. And the stories, if you're trying to prove that Jonah was a real person and he was actually swallowed by the whale, right? If that's what you're trying to do, you're actually missing the point of the whole story, of what God's trying to convey through that story.
Yeah.
If you're trying to prove that men are better than women and with the Bible and stuff like that, you're missing the point of the Christian narrative and God continuing to pull us forward into a new reality that is the kingdom of God. And I think when you get stuck in those moments, that's not real fun faith anyway. It's stressful. You're just trying to prove things.
Fun faith?
What's fun
faith? What's fun faith, Jordan?
I think true faith is being free in your faith and not worrying so much about, you know, your eternal destination or others, but being more focused on helping those around you and loving those around you, just as Jesus has loved you.
And you consider it fun? Just a
second. Yes.
That's fun. I like
but
that, Jordan.
I consider it fun because I'm a theological nerd. That's why I'm a pastor. I like all this deeper stuff and talking about what the Bible actually means. Because there's all kind of different perspectives on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a class with a guy in seminary who was telling me how he believes that men are better than women, or, you know, that God made it a certain way, and he thought the seminary was horrible because it was teaching that we're both equal, and it's like, okay, dude, you do you. Do you guys feel good about this? Because it's about time we have to go. Bring you back to school.
I feel fine.
I feel fantastic. I mean,
if you want, we could do a part two.
I'm down.
If you want to talk
actually,
more about
it. Yeah, I'm down for that.
Sure.
Okay.
Do we just say
I
bye?
I feel like no one's going to be a fan of us, though.
Yeah, probably not.
Oh, people will be a fan of you.
Okay.
If this gets more popular.
Make sure we seem funny.
I think we only... I don't know how many listeners we have now.
Like 4.
I think a total of between the two, Podomatic and iTunes, I think we have about 20-some people subscribed.
It's on iTunes?
Yeah. On your...
On your device.
That's
on your device. So you've
got...
That's so
modern.
You know the podcast?
Yeah, I've got that.
And you
comes
look for Voices of Hope.
We're going to be on there.
That's nice.
You'll be on there.
I can't wait.
That's actually really
cool.
What
is it going to say? What's our episode called?
It's going to be called Growing Pains.
I haven't grown since 6th grade. Theologically and, like, physically.
That's a good note to end on.
Yeah. So you feel good and we got to get you back to school? And
yes.
You can say goodbye
if you
want.
I'm down to do a part 2.
You want to say goodbye?
Yeah, at the same time.
How are we going to say goodbye?
All right, guys. Like and subscribe down below. Leave a comment.
Turn on the bell for notifications.
Do you want to give your Twitter handle and your Instagram
smash
thing?
Smash that like button.
Smash the subscribe button. Follow Jordan on Instagram at
jwarringes.
No.
At jwarringes.
Also follow Michelle.
Michelle E. Warringes.
Michelle is Jordan's wife. She's awesome.
All right,
okay,
guys.
Bye.
Bye.